Thank you. First, I want to recognize a dear friend of mine who we haven't seen for a while. Name is Mr. Muriel Rouse. So let's give a hand for her. She's here today. Well, we've been talking about faith for a while. And I must confess that I have very little faith. And I ask the Lord not to give me more faith, but to help me to exercise the faith that I have. He's working on me. Today, I'd like to speak to you about divine providence. Now, a lot of times, brethren don't like that word, but I'm going to point out to you what we mean by divine providence. That is, God is working out His plan in time. Everything that happens was thought of and planned by God before this world began. And so providence is God working out His plan in time, or as we live. So let me just read you a verse of scripture from Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50. I'm going to do a few reading of the scripture because the scripture can do better than I can. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. Is it on the screen? Brother Javier? Okay. But as for you, he's talking to his brother. Joseph's talking to his brother. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. Why? In order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Genesis 45, verses 5 to 8. Genesis 45, verses 5 to 8. But now, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves, because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. Verse 6. For these 2 years of famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing or harvesting. Verse 7. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Verse 8. So now it was not you who sent me, brethren, brothers, but God. And He has made me a father to Pharaoh, the Lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout the land of Egypt. Now, if you wanted to know about Joseph, you'd start with chapter 37. Where it began with this family feud. But I want to let you know that there is an end to everything that God has planned. And so I want you to first see the result of Joseph and his faith in God. God meant it for good. Now, let's read Genesis 39, verses 1 to 6. We're going to do a lot of reading of the scripture. 39, verses 1 to 6. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. Now notice it very carefully. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Verse 3. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. I noticed the Lord was with Joseph, and the master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house. All that he had, he put under his authority. So it was, from the time that he had made him overseer of his house, all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he did not know what he had except the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Divine providence. Joseph, as a man, a boy rather, of 17 years old, he had two dreams. First thing I want you to notice is this. Joseph, as a boy, had two dreams. When he went into prison, he interpreted two dreams, both of the baker and of the butler. Pharaoh had two dreams. So you wonder, why two dreams? So we turn to Genesis 41 and verse 32. Genesis 41 and verse 32. And the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice, because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. So notice, God wanted to emphasize these dreams. So Joseph had these two dreams, one of which is the sheaves bowing down to his sheaf. The second was the sun, moon, and 11 stars made obedience to him. So his brother hated him. And they said, let us kill him, favorite son. Now you want to remember always, God was with Joseph. So they decided, well, we're not going to kill him, says Reuben. Let's put him in a pit. Joseph is put in a pit. And God was with Joseph. Matt, I point out at this point that many of us, we have our issues in life. So Some of us are in the pit, in distress and trouble, death in the family and sickness. Always remember, God is with you. God is with you. So, I've been putting him in a pit. They sat down to eat, and wow, here comes the Ishmaelites. And they said, it's better for us to get some money. So let's sell him for 20 pieces of silver, the price of a slave. You notice later on in life, the price went up for a slave, and Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver. So Joseph is sold and is on his way to Egypt. What do you think Joseph is thinking? Well, what do you think? If God is with him, why is all this happening? From my favorite father's son to a pit, to a slave going to Israel, to Egypt. Remember what I read? It says, brothers, you didn't send me to Egypt. God sent me to Egypt. Now, Joseph did not understand what was going on, but he had faith in the living God. By the way, Joseph begged for his life. So I'm just going to read this to you. Genesis 42 and verse 21. Genesis 42 verse 21 says, then they said to one another, we are truly guilty concerning our brother. For we saw the anguish of his soul when he pleaded with us, and we would not hear. Therefore, this distress has come upon us. So the brother, Joseph, pleaded with his brother, don't do what you're doing. But they hated him. But God was with him. In Psalms 37, verse 23, we read, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Saints, our lives are ordered by God. Wherever you find yourself, however you find yourself, God is in control. Proverbs 20 verse 24 says, a man's steps are of the Lord. How then can a man understand his own way? So test number one is, Joseph is sold. And now he's in Egypt. But I want to notice, God is with him. He could have gone to somebody else's place where hard labor, but God had it so that he was sold, not just to the Ishmaelites, but to the Potiphar, who was the guard of Pharaoh. So the first one is family feud. The second one is false accusation. God was with Joseph. And he prospered, and Potiphar prospered. So Potiphar's wife, remember Joseph is well, handsome, and favored? So she has an eye for Joseph. And the Bible tells us that she repeatedly asked him, lie with me. Now, that must have been a very entertaining idea. You lie with the boss, his wife, and you are in good steps. You know, the boss will like you, but he won't know what you did. So finally, Joseph said the most famous word that we all know, "How can I do this wicked thing and sin against Potiphar?" Okay. "How can I do this wicked thing and sin against the lady?" Against God. We must remember this. The Lord is with us. He is always seeing what we do. Therefore, we should always tell ourselves and Satan, "I cannot do this wicked thing and sin against God." Now, Potiphar's wife, being angry, a woman scorned, held his coat, robe, and she waited until her husband comes home. And she did the woman's cry. You know that cry without tears? I've seen it. Trust me. And the funny thing about it is, a woman can cry in a minute, in 1 second. Okay. So she said, "Hubby, that Hebrew boy you brought here, look what he did. Tried to rape." Potiphar, who loved Joseph, has to do what is right. Now, in those days, if you did what Potiphar's wife says you did, you are going to be killed. God was with Joseph. There's no way he could have killed him. So he put him in the dungeon. Now, you want to know something about the dungeon? Psalms 105, verse 16. Psalms 105 and verse 16. Okay, it's on the board here. "Moreover, he called for a famine," that is God, "in the land. He destroyed all the provision of bread," verse 17. "He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was a slave," verse 18. "They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons until the time his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested Joseph." You can stop here for a moment. Now, Joseph is in dungeon. Chains are about his feet. He's suffering down to his soul. You tell Joseph, "The Lord is with you." But we say it's better to be in the dungeon with God than to be in the palace without God. Am I right? Yes. It is better to suffer affliction with God than to be at ease without God. Remember now, this is what we call divine providence. God is in control of Joseph's life. He's hurting. So therefore, he's in dungeon and he's in a place where two other of Potiphar's servants are. Baker and the butler. Test number three, forgotten man. obviously, he interpreted the dream of the baker and it came to pass. He was hanged. He interpreted the dream of the butler and he was restored to his position, handing a cup of wine to Pharaoh. So the butler is released and he goes, and Joseph said to him, "When it is well with you, remember me." For 2 years, the butler forgotten. But you know what happened? If the butler had remembered Joseph, Joseph would have been restored to being a house servant. But God has a bigger plan. A bigger plan. So the Lord had big boss Pharaoh dream two dreams. Now, I'm thinking, and I said, when I look at it, I said, I could have interpreted this. Fat cows eaten up by lean cows. The fat ears of corn are eaten up by lean ears of corn. Wow, the butler says, "Gee, I remember. There was a man, Hebrew boy, in the dungeon with me, and he interpreted my dream, and here I am." So Pharaoh says, "Send for him." Now the Bible says, they shaved him and they cleaned him up, so you can understand that even though God was with him, he was in terrible environment. So they brought him, Joseph, to Pharaoh. And you know what Joseph said? He says, "I don't interpret dreams. Don't give me the credit. It is God who's going to tell Pharaoh what is to come to pass." By the way, in the dungeon, in Potiphar's house, Joseph learned leadership because he's going to need it. God is in control. So Joseph interprets the dream for Pharaoh. Now, this one I want to read to you. Here's my notes. Genesis 41, verse 38 to 44. By the way, Joseph is living by faith, and he trusts God, regardless of the circumstances in which he finds himself. So we're going to read Genesis chapter 41, verse 38. "And Pharaoh said to his servants, 'Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the spirit of God?' Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'Inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you.'" Verse 40. "You shall be over my house and all my people, and shall rule according to your word. Only in regard to the house will I be greater than you." 40 gave him his ring and so on. Now, what I want to bring out is this. Family feud, false accusation, a man forgotten, but God is with him. So, from all of this, he's now promoted. God sent him to preserve life. God meant it for good. They meant it for evil. 13 years earlier, he came to Egypt as a slave. Now he's the second most powerful man in Egypt. One morning he woke up in prison. He went to bed in a palace. He got Potiphar's daughter as a wife, royalty. He had two sons, Manasseh, which means that God made me to forget my troubles, and Ephraim, God caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. I read something that says that there are 12 tribes. Joseph is the 11th. Joseph is not mentioned as a tribe later on, and the Levites are removed. And so Joseph's two sons are now each one is a tribe. Talk about blessing. So whereas all the brothers were one tribe, Joseph had two tribes by virtue of his son Manasseh and Ephraim. So everything is okay. Joseph comes from land of Canaan, and he's in Egypt, and he's the biggest big time boss. But one thing is left out. The two dreams are interpreted in the dungeon. Two dreams are interpreted in Pharaoh's palace. But it's two dreams not interpreted yet. Remember Joseph had about his brothers are going to be bowing down to him? Well, let's see what happened. Genesis 43 and verse 26. 43 verse 26. And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in the land, in their hand, into the house. And these boys bowed down before him to the earth. Verse 27. Then he asked them about their well-being and said, "Is your father well? The old man of whom you spoke, is he alive?" Verse 28. And they answered, "Your servant, our father, is in good health. He is still alive." And they bowed their heads down and prostrated themselves. Is the dream interpreted? So, if we had read from the first act onwards, we would not have known anything. But we read from the end of Joseph's test that God meant it for good, and then we see how it happened. When you live by faith, you don't need to know tomorrow. You need to know God. And if God is with you, my brothers and sisters, you're going to go through suffering. You know, I heard of they say when they build a bridge, the engineer tests it on all of that stuff, but until cars and trucks are driven on it, we don't know if it will stand. Many of us, we ask God to take us out of our suffering and out of our difficulties. Can you allow God to work through the problem? If Joseph was not sold by his brothers, the world would have died from a famine. So, when we pray and ask God for help, and we all do, please remember to remind God that it is your will and not mine. My will says, heal my flesh and forget about your glory. God's will is his glory. So, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Joseph did not see the end, but he trusted God. And so, he'd always said he has respect the time, and so do I. So, if you leave here today, the one thing you must remember, whatever your circumstances are, God is with you. Amen? Amen. Amen.